So let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll do some introductions, and then I'll tell you kind of how we'll proceed here. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much that we have a chance to talk as leaders for such an important ministry of children and youth ministries and young adult ministries, Lord. We ask that you bless our time together, inspire us, help us have open minds to try new things or to experience new things, all for the cause of our young people in your kingdom. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to start off with some introductions so we know who's around. I don't know if I know everyone, and I don't know if you know everyone. Come on in. With that, right after, I want to go through, and I've created some things that I'll present, talk about, and it's open talk. That's why I was like, oh, let's put a circle so that we can all just chat about youth ministry. I'm going to give you a snapshot of youth ministry because I can't go too detail. We have an hour and 5 minutes total. And I want you to walk away with something that you're like, okay, this was worthwhile to me. So I'm just giving you a snapshot of some things. And if you have questions anytime, ask them or ask a pastor. We have two pastors with us as well with youth ministries. But let's start with introductions a little bit. And so your name, which church you're from, and what part of youth ministries. Now I know I'll say it differently. Children's, youth, or young adult ministry. That's broader for those of you in adventurers, which is part of that. And then I can share with you after the structure of the church how that fits in just a little bit. So I'll start, and then we'll go this way. So you have a moment to think of your name and stuff. So make sure you're all set, ready.
Thank you.
Okay, good. My name's Kevin. I'm the youth ministries director for the conference. I've been here for 4 years now, and I've been doing youth ministry at this type of position for just 7 or almost 8 years now. This summer will mark 20 years of working for the church. I was thinking of that as I drove here. I used to be a teacher, and so I taught for 12 years as well. So I'm kind of excited about that. That's kind of cool to realize, I've been serving the church for 20 years this summer. And I work with all parts of youth ministry to some degree, and we'll share what that means in a little bit. So I'll pass it on to you. Anything you want to say, really, especially your name. And
I have time to think of my name.
Okay, good.
It's Robertson Dorelis, and I'm pastoring at the Edmonton West Church. I'm the associate and youth pastor there, so my Pathfinder director is here, and my children's ministry director. So they do all the work.
Oh, awesome.
Just kind of watch the TV.
Awesome.
So,
yeah.
Cool. Okay, my name is Khan Lobo. I'm at North Edmonton Church. I'm the assistant of Adventurers, Derek, and then I'm the leader for Children Ministries.
That's a lot of work.
Wow, yeah.
Hi, everybody. My name is Roma from the Central Church. I'm co-leading the Adventure Club with my team, and she couldn't make it today. We are, so it's Adventure Club.
Cool. I've turned it on. We're recording. It's just so you make sure you say everything nicely. It's being recorded.
Okay, my name is Mark Buller. I'm from Filipino Adventist.
Say it again.
Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. My current church for now is new to me. I said as like a associate director for the Pathfinder.
Okay.
So we'll see. And also, I am a master guide, but we'll go into the lower level for activities maybe that way.
Cool.
Hello, Ron. I am Lyndon Card Arabo.
Lyndon?
And then from the Vietnam Church. I was brought here by him to get information about youth ministry.
Cool.
So I'm Brad Jarre, and I'm a pastor here at Edmonton Central, and I'm not really officially assigned to any specific ministry, but I'm just very passionate about young people and helping them connect with Jesus Christ.
Cool.
I'm enjoying. I'm from the Purdue Church. I'm here with my wife. And basically, we're getting all the support.
Awesome. Good.
So my name is Daisy. I'm from the Purdue Church. I'm actually in Women's Ministries, but I'm sitting in because there's not a Women's Ministry, so I'm going to do it.
We'll try to pull in women's ministry somehow. Not sure.
Yeah, I do also do a lot of participation in the youth programs and okay. Stuff with this location.
Cool.
My name is Colleen Ellis. I'm from the Edmonton Leicester. I'm with the Adventures Club. And also with the Primary South School.
Good. Okay, thank you.
Claudia Young, Pathfinder Director, West Edmonton.
Okay, so I was jotting down which ministry everyone's from. Oh, we have one more, sorry.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Edward. I'm actually but I've been assigned teaching junior of the school and also teaching some of the honor class in Master Guide.
Okay.
So just very interested to learn about the youth ministry.
Good.
And I know there's when I was in the class, I understand there is a generational gap. So understand the dynamics, you know, how it works and what should be all about.
Good. Good. And you've said a couple of things that we'll have to touch on. Some of the challenges of youth ministries as well. I'll get to that after. It's fine. What I have here is, and I ordered it thinking, oh, this looks like a good order, but it's not in any particular order of importance of what I want to talk about. So what I want you to do is ask questions at any time. Just like, oh, I want to say something. Or say something. Yeah, ask or whatever you'd like. I'd like it to be a group effort so we can just learn together, including myself. Being in youth ministry for 7 or 8 years, that doesn't mean I've mastered it. And I have 2 teenage daughters now. And I've realized I have not mastered youth ministry. So there's so much to learn. I've learned a lot in the last couple years with my daughters. And it was like, oh, that's a new perspective or a good reminder of a perspective as well. So we're all learning. And so if we have an open talk, it'd be good for me as well. So the first one that I have here, this is where I wanted to start. I wanted to make sure you're all aware, and we have Pathfinders, Adventurers, Youth, Junior Sabbath Schools, different things, and Youth, whatever that is. There's a lot of representation here. And so pull into what you can. But I want to start by saying you are the advocate for our youth in your churches. Youth ministry is a unique thing. Where kids are coming and you don't always know their background and you might be one of the only influential people. And so you are a key ministry person in your church, in your spot, and whatever level that is of age, you play a really important role. And we don't always realize that because we don't always realize what's going on at home. And so you might be the only glimmer of hope. And I want to share this piece with you on this first item here. When I became youth leader, I realized I was counting that as well. 20 years ago, when I was 22, I just graduated, came to the church, I was a teacher, and they said, my wife and I are the youth leaders. I didn't really understand what that meant, so I kind of understand where you're coming from, but I learned a lot very quickly. And I wanted to model it. I have food here. Youth ministry involves a few key aspects. And I'll share them in no specific order, and you're already nodding your heads like, oh, food, yeah. There's a key piece of youth ministry, food. With food, and it's very biblical, actually, in the book of Acts, you can read in chapter 2, food and fellowship. Our young people, and this is even at the younger ages, but that includes mom and dad a little bit more, too, the social aspect in youth ministry, especially at the teenage years, is the drive drawing part of why they'll come to a program or an event or to Sabbath school or to church or any of those things. And so I brought the donuts here just to remind myself to tell you that a key piece of youth ministry is social. And in our church, I think we sometimes have missed that. Now, don't get me wrong. We can go overboard totally and say social only, it's a party, youth ministry is a party. No. I'll say this with this now so you don't think it's only that. Kids and teens want to have a deeper relationship with Christ. They want to understand things on a deeper level. And so I've done a program once before that I'm not proud of, that it was a very surface type of a Jesus type of a thing, very social. And I was like, oh, I missed the point. You're kind of hitting the lowest common denominator. And so I've very carefully since then, and this was a few years ago when I was learning lots of things still, realized that kids want to go deeper. They want a meaningful program or an experience. It's not always program-based. They want a meaningful discussion of Christ. And we don't always realize that because we're like, oh, we must entertain them. But no, they want to go deeper with Christ. And they want to have those hard conversations with us. And while you're having those conversations, it's so much easier if you include the food and the social part. So you see the mixture of those pieces right there. A successful youth ministry will have a successful social component. I think I learned this when I was teaching, and there was a number of Pentecostals in my class. And they were so excited. Each week they'd come and talk about Bible study. I'm like, man, they love Bible study. And I would listen and they would talk about Bible study and their pastor more than my Adventist kids. And I'm like, what's going on? And they started pulling my Adventist kids to their Bible study. And so half the class in my Adventist school were going to the Pentecostal church on Wednesdays for Bible study. And I was invited, because of the social and the relationship-based, and there's another key word, relationship-based, they wanted me to come. I'm going to the Pentecostal church because my students want me there. And so I realized the social piece was a big drawing part. But then they studied their Bibles because they felt comfortable socially. They fed them, and all the parts of a young person's life was complete. They felt accepted, and they wanted to study. And so that's where I realized, wow, they really need that social component. They want to walk into a room and be welcomed because they're so nervous to come through that door. And think of even yourselves as adults. Sometimes we'll walk in the door. It's like, oh, where do I sit? What do I do? This is not much different. I've realized youth ministry and adults are much different. So that welcoming, bring them in, feed them, accept them, put that social component in there, and definitely a big dose of the Jesus component. All right, so that's the first one. I want to just put that very basics, the base foundation of youth ministry is you have to have lots of Jesus and lots of social, and then the food is always a... maybe because I'm when I was a teenage boy, I liked food a lot. I ate a lot of food. But that's definitely a piece of important piece of youth ministry. Any questions or comments on that?
What do you do the social part when you have a program to follow in your time limits?
That's a good question. I grew up in a Christian Reformed church, and so we didn't have pathfinders. We had cadets. Same thing as pathfinders. What I loved about cadets, it's not the same. Yeah, it's sort of. We did badges and we did all these things. We had a campery. What I loved about cadets, what brought me there, was every night after the Bible study and the classwork and the learning stuff in our little classrooms, it was the floor hockey. That's what brought me there. So we'd play floor hockey for half an hour. That's what I was looking forward to. So it's adding just a little bit of playtime into the whole mix of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good question.
I noticed that in the curriculum for the Pathfinders, they say you should have games. But also, in the manual, it talks about making everything God-centered.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, in my effort to try and incorporate that, I know one of my deputy had been playing In the River on the Bank. So what I did the next worship was I showed them, you know, the games you play, they're not just for entertainment.
Correct. I agree.
Also lessons that you learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we play in the river on the bank, and we also, there was another game they were playing that you have to be in sync when you answer.
Right.
Or else you're out. And, you know, I explained to him, you're going to be in sync with God, you're going to be in sync.
Yep. And it's just bringing those little lessons in, into all the fun. Absolutely. I used to play Bible Swords. You remember that game?
Yes.
I haven't played that for years, and I just thought of that as you were talking. I was like, oh, I love that. Go ahead.
That was the same thing at the point I was going to touch on.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up in a Pentecostal church, not Adventist, so we had, like, our Wednesday night was just ridiculous, and our Friday nights we were playing sword in hand, one step to the cross. Like, so it was, you knew the Bible passages.
Yep.
You had to know them. Then you had to give meanings for them, and then that's how you would advance, and you have your team. So it was fun. So a lot of the references I can give to the youth know is basically, you know, like, I know this because I did this way, and it was fun learning it.
Right.
And one of the problems we were talking about while we were driving here was the fact that our programs are not, just like you said earlier, we give them a pseudo version of who God really is. And I remember our youth program, I'm from Jamaica, so I remember our youth program in Jamaica. We had youth from, they were in kindergarten, we had them preaching, they had children's crusade.
Yes.
So when they got to the youth level, we had youth crusade, we had youth month of prayer, we had, so we teach them to pray.
Yes.
We have them going up doing, you know, so get them involved in the programs that we're planning. Ask them what they want to do. We have rap sessions at church, basically. So it's issues that they're facing. We give them the Christian perspective of them.
Yeah.
Because you know what? They're going to go outside and ask their friends. They're going to be staring in the wrong direction.
Yes.
Most of them won't necessarily speak to their parents. This is where they come.
Right.
And we need to give them the positive, not the drag, you know, like, most of them, their parents pull them to church.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we've all been part of that. Yeah.
Yes.
That is warm. Right, mm-hmm. So we have to feed into that friendship to say, how do we build on this? How do we inject a lot more of Jesus? Help them to make the right decisions, because choosing Christ is that one simple decision every second of the day, and it's just something that we have to put in their minds constantly.
Yes.
You know, help them with the Bible verses. See them, help them not just tell them the stories that are found in the Bible, but help them to understand the deep meaning behind that.
Like,
one of the things we spoke about was looking at the disciples. None of them were perfect. None of them made the right decisions initially. They fell miserably. Look at David.
Constantly.
God's whole heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was horrible what he did. But he repented. And that's where we need to get them at, to remind them totally they're human, but don't rely on the human element of them all the time. And I think it becomes an excuse even for us as adults.
Yeah.
Well, I'm only human, so I will fail. Failure is not acceptable. It's not where you stay.
Right.
You know, so things like that you inject in the program. I know sometimes the traditional aspect of it is we look at the time and all of that.
Yeah.
Let the Spirit lead you. About your programs and let God lead you in the direction that He wants you to go. Sometimes you'll probably have to change it a bit, but it needs to be basically what the youth are saying to you that they need.
Right. And we're going to touch on that in a second here. Let me go to the next point, because you're touching on a few things coming up, and that's good. It's good. You're in the right spot. Let me go on a more serious one for a second. Safety. There's a whole safety aspect, and this goes it goes to all the levels of what were age levels. What's coming out to the pastors is a very clear understanding of police checks and how that's going to work for volunteers within our church. And that'll address to all of you, including myself, the whole police check business. There's been so many questions, and there was a database that was created for North America and the union level, the division level, which we can't use in Canada because of information, freedom of information, and so on. So what we've done in Alberta, we created a policy just a couple months ago. We finalized it, and so we were just waiting for HR to do a final check and the lawyers to do it. So here's what I'll tell you now, and you'll get more information from your pastors and boards, is you need to get everyone, including yourself, in youth ministry to do a police check. So you can talk to your pastor. They can write you a letter, and you can often get it for free because you're a volunteer. As a worker, I have to pay, but volunteers are usually free. Usually, depends on where you, which police station you go to and what maybe how they're feeling that day or what their rules are. And it varies a little bit, but they're usually free. But so start looking at that for your Pathfinder Adventure leaders. They need to be police checked up, totally. And there'll be a form to fill out that the pastors will get to you eventually. But just at this point, make sure that police checks are done within your realm of circle. They're good for 3 years. And that was a big question. How many years are they good for? They used to say one. BC says five. So I say three, and yet I'm going to check to make sure if it's five, I'd be really happy. 5 years with a signed paper every year saying, oh yeah, I haven't been in jail. It's just that's all it would be. But we're saying right now three. That's what we've learned in Alberta. I'm hoping for five if I can research a bit more. So that was a big question that I've just learned recently. So do get your police checks. Talk to your pastors about that. Pastors are the ones who monitor and that people get this done. So it's not at the conference level. It's at the local church, because I won't know who's at your church doing what. And anyone traveling, this is another safety piece. There's three safety pieces. Traveling, if they're in your car, if you have other children in your car, you need a $2 million liability. That's a standard. You're aware of that as well. You had a question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Three?
$2 million. $2 million. And the third one before I forget, first aid kits. This is not always talked about much, but if you take your kids to the park and they cut themselves badly, you should, because you're the guardian, you should be thinking of first aid kits for your churches. And we're not thinking that way. Camp, yes, we have a first aid room. I have a bag. It's in my van, actually. I carry it around with me because I go places with youth and I always have it with me. But at our local church levels, at your adventure or Pathfinder clubs, there should be a first aid kit somewhere within your church.
Okay.
Or within your club. So if you come to go, or if you go anywhere, that first aid kit comes with you as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, you kind of answered one of my questions. One for the church. We have one for the church.
Okay.
We didn't have one when we go out.
There was one on the bus, but
you can get small ones that are travel ones. MEC has them, or camping stores have those, and they're pretty nice. They're basic. But
the second question I have is, I know that whenever the youth go out, you have to record it in your board minutes.
Yes.
In the case of the Edmonton Youth Council.
That was a question just recently to Keith.
Okay.
I saw the email come by. But go ahead and ask it anyways.
Now, in the case of the Edmonton Youth Council, mm-hmm. does it have to be the Edmonton Youth Council reported to the conference, or each church within the council reports it to that individual church?
I saw Keith's response to Ian. I came at the very end of that. Good question. And Keith said it has to just go through me. But I'm thinking in my mind, I think it should be a local church thing at each board. So I'm going to get, I haven't responded to that, but I want to get clarification on that. That's a really good question, because who do you fall under?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yes.
Okay. So back to the transport thing.
Yep.
So if, as a parent, I'm taking my children to camp, do I need to have that?
Your personal children?
Yes.
No. Like, I have it on my vehicles because I'll transport camp staff or even a camper if I had to the hospital or something. So I do. We just, or my wife teaches and she has kids sometimes as well.
Okay.
But if I didn't carry other people's children from the church as a leader, then it doesn't matter. So
then I need to put it on.
It doesn't cost very much. It's surprisingly low, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, good question. Ask your pastor more details on that if you want more clarification. But that's a standard I know at the office and for teachers, $2 million to transport anyone else's kids.
Okay. To school and to church, I always pick up somebody.
Yeah, talk to your pastor and just get some more clarification on that as well. I think it's wise for your safety as well. That's really what it is. It's protecting you.
Yep.
So, okay, I'm going to go to the next one. I'm kind of hitting things fast. Number three. Edmonton Youth Council. in Calgary Youth Council. So I'll talk about Edmonton Youth Council. I'm just making you aware, there is an Edmonton Youth Council, which is a collection of the youth pastors at this point, and they're connecting in with the youth leaders from each church to do citywide or regional events. And they've done a number of things. If you want to talk about it, you can just for a second.
We do the yearly Edmonton Youth Rallies, and we bring all the churches together. We have the youth rally. We have the talent night, the cultural festivals that we usually have. So just the various events that we do throughout the year.
Yeah. And he's the vice president of the...
Well, last year.
President, I have it here. I have it wrong here. I have it right here. I said it wrong. He is the president of the Edmonton Youth Council. And Calgary has one as well, and he has a budget for that. And as pastors, they meet and decide how they're going to do youth ministry with the goal of unifying the churches and unifying the youth, because they want to get together socially with other youth in large groups.
Is there any other youth leaders here from other churches at the head?
No. Okay. All right, the next one. This addresses Pathfinders and Adventurers and young adult, all ministries, actually. Maybe not children as much, but it would be a good idea. And this is community services. Recently, in January, last month, officially the youth department, in my department, took on fully the community services of the conference. And we've been sort of trying for a couple of years with Lyle Notice to do this. We've been gearing towards this, but now officially it is our department, with the goal of mixing fully youth ministry and community services, young adult ministries. And we're the only one doing it in North America, I believe. And a lot of... I'm not sure if there's other conferences. I'm not sure of which one. They're still separate.
Well, maybe not at a conference level, but
yeah.
From church.
At the church, okay. At the conference level, I think we're the only ones. A lot of conferences are looking to see how this is going to work. But what I want to say to you is our young people and young adults, I'll name them specifically, they want to make a difference in our society, in our communities, at the community level. That is a young adult type thinking, and we need to then, at all the different age levels, and this fits well with Pathfinders and Adventurers, it's part of that fully, is to serve our communities. And so I'm just putting that as a something to stick in your minds, to remind yourselves and myself too, that this is a major part of being a Christian, is looking around and seeing who has needs and what can I do, and training our young people for that.
Okay, so one of my projected activities for the Pathfinders, we just recently formed a club in November, so we're still uniforming people.
Cool.
So my idea was to work with the community service department, so when they're going to the nursing home, when they're going to the senior
Excellent.
Department, we do soup kitchen on Sunday, so I would have a group, one unit or two, going with the leaders. Well, I myself would have to be there also as the leader of the Pathfinders. So
right.
That is if it works.
Incorporate it into your ministry somewhere, a bunch of places.
Yes.
The kids love it. I help the kids in October to do can collecting. Do you remember the cans that we used to go door to door and ask them for money for ADRA? What was it? In-gathering.
In-gathering.
I used to love that as a kid, and I'm so sad they quit, but I'm sure there's reasons, safety reasons.
Yes.
But I used to love going door to door to collect the money. Some people didn't. It wasn't their thing. But just kids love doing this, and it's good for them to realize, oh, there's other people out there that need help to become less selfish, I guess. And
our department, yes. Kids, the youth actually can, because they do the nursing home, they do, like,
excellent.
While they've gone in community, like, to help the elderly, grocery shopping, stuff like that. So they actually, you know, go out and say, okay, somebody will come back and say, oh, this is one of the things that we heard at school or somewhere, you know, and then we'll see how best we can work it out. And they're pretty excited. They'll make sure they're on time and everything.
Right.
And the program, maintaining the people and stuff.
If you need resources, because it's part of our department now, just give us put a request in, I guess. Lyle is the one who's really heading that up, but we oversee it together. give us a request if you need help, whatever we can do. We have the big trailer that we pull in places on street and open it up, and things happen out of that, a variety of things happen out of the trailer. It's not just disaster stuff. We've actually thought of changing the name from disaster response to community services because we use it more there. We use it for both, but more. So anyways, let us know if we can help you.
One more thing that I had suggested to the, when we were at a conference the other day, was to have our Pathfinders involved in Canada Day activities, the march that they have.
Yeah.
So we need to be visible
in the community. Yep, definitely. I fully agree.
Yes.
There was a time, I think, when Pathfinders was much more visible than it is now. So I really support that. I like that a lot. All right, going on to number five. I'm trying to keep going here. Oh, yep.
Sorry, I was thinking maybe you'd touch on it, but maybe a little later. Sorry.
No, go. Just ask.
Is it the safety thing?
Yes, which part?
Well, much more than a police check. For example, like, you shouldn't really drive alone if you've got a person in your car.
In that document, there's a whole list of those things. But let's go a little bit more in detail. I think it's well worth our time right now. So keep on going. I agree with you.
Okay, so that one. The other one would be, I mean, a police check is basically meaningless.
I know.
Nobody's been caught.
Mm-hmm.
So protect yourself and your kids by doubling people up.
Yes.
Even yourself, you shouldn't be yourself vulnerable.
Let me add to that. I'm going to add to two things you've said, and then keep thinking of more, because it's well worth we talk about this little list. Don't drive one-on-one with somebody, or specifically, well, it doesn't matter nowadays even. I was going to say the opposite sex. Just don't drive one-on-one with somebody. I'm very cautious of that, actually.
If you show up at church and you and this person is alone, you know,
yeah.
I wouldn't even go inside yet.
Be in a visible location for sure, at minimum, and yet caution yourselves on that. I really appreciate you bringing this up here.
One thing I did was, because there's different situations called for different men.
Oh, yeah, as a pastor, this is a unique.
I had a young lady that I had to take home, and, you know, there was no way that her parents could pick me up. I called them and asked them for permission, but I also FaceTimed my fiance at the time, and I had her on the phone the entire time until we got to the house. So that's another double layer to...
It just takes one accusation, true or not true.
Yes.
And your career is over as a pastor. And I don't want to say career. Your ministry is totally affected.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm really glad you're bringing these up. When I was a teacher, I had one student left in the classroom. I walked out because I didn't want to be one-on-one ever. So just be really cautious of those types of situations. And you're right. The police check it's important, and yet it's only if you've been caught. And so for those who aren't caught, the police check doesn't really do anything. And so you have to be the eyes and ears, the advocate, I used that word before, for your children or youth or whatever age that is. You're the one watching out for their safety. Keep an eye on the other adults. Keep an eye on yourself. Keep everything in. Just keep an eye out is really important, if I can say that. Yes?
We cannot really judge people, say, this person looks like or that person doesn't look like. Because a lot of times when things happen, people say, but they look so, you know, and so it's not that you want to be paranoid and walk around thinking everybody's a possibility, but at the same time, we have to be careful. You know, we have to be wise.
And it's for...
I've had a reference check for somebody because I'm such a nice young lady in the community. So, like, they welcome to sign a reference to say that I was a good correct. And I'm like, I've known this person for a few months, probably. And our interaction is about church or business.
Yeah.
Seriously, do you know me?
Right.
I did a reference check for the Canadian Cancer Society. And that took me 2 seconds. They just went with their database and said, okay,
That's when it's more of a legality type of a checklist, legality. But we as adults have to just be on the watch to protect ourselves, but really to protect the children and their experience and really their eternity. Because if they are abused at some point, it's such an uphill challenge for their life, totally. And we probably all know of an example of that. Yes.
Different like guardianship and community services.
Okay.
I'm actually teaching the course in Master Catholic on a course in community services. I have some experience working as a non-profit for management and also some non-profit organization. I'd be interested to get that teaching to overview or something like my interest.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that, you know, giving a good diversity news, right, you know, the service of family, right, so that was a conference we wanted to do, right?
And I have a business card for Lyle, who really, we've sent him to get trained in a number of areas, and so he'd be your point man. And you can always ask me questions. If I don't know, I'll tell you, and I'll ask Lyle probably. But I'll give you his card after. Did you have another one that you wanted to touch? I appreciate that. Yes, either one of you.
That's another area.
What did you say?
Hugging.
Oh, yeah. Hugging, touching.
That quote would, like, it threw me off. Like, the grade fives will just come up to you and just say, you know, and they're just all in your space, like no room. And so I kind of had to move to the side and kind of give them the side hug, right? So
yeah, absolutely.
That's another area, because it just takes that one accusation that you touched me wrong.
Absolutely. With the teenage girls and boys, there's even a higher level of sensitivity. Not that you have to not be careful with the littler ones, but there's such a high level of sensitivity you have to be. So for a girl, if you know, I might do this, like good job or whatever, but probably not even that. And I don't want to, you know, even touch the bra strap, because it's such a high sensitivity. There's and yet they'll want to hug you sometimes. And so it's a fine line between ministry and safety. Loving our kids and safety. Just be very aware. Little children, do you let them sit on your knee while you read the story? It's a tricky one. It's a tricky one. I used to teach the little ones. Women can do it much easier than men. And so, because they're more that motherly or grandmotherly type. And yet, I've allowed a kid to sit on my knee, and yet I'm very cautious. There's so many cautions, because it's the mix of safety and ministry. And some will say, no, don't let them sit on your knee. It's hard, because it's ministry. Use caution. I don't know if you want to address it. Say what your thoughts
are. Side hugs are from Satan.
They're from who?
See, that one is a touch drug.
Stop. So he's such a hugger, man. Stop.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's a good point. I appreciate you bringing that up.
But you have to be careful. I think I am a hugger type of person. But I do try not to initiate. If somebody needs a hug.
Well, that's tough, too.
It is tough. It's a tough one. But the other thing is I always try to make sure my wife's there.
Okay.
She gives them a hug, too.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm giving hugs. Mm-hmm. It's they need a hug at the moment. And we hug.
Right. That you're not labeled the creepy guy. Yeah. Yeah. So just be really cautious. If you're not sure, don't. Or if it's in the wrong location, one-on-one, like, once again, no, absolutely not. There's a lot of what-ifs that are involved in there. Yes?
I was going to say that perhaps it is better if you allow them, like working with children, if you allow them to do the hugging rather than you do the hugging.
Yeah.
Some of them will come up and they want to hug you. You know, let them hug you.
So what do you do? Stand stiff or just...
Pardon? You don't stand stiff. You just still have to the back or something.
You have to just be careful, really careful. Like you said, a side hug. That's
side
very
hug
different.
Works.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Any other in this area? I appreciate it.
I just want to say, because you talked about the hard thing, I was going to this particular church, and there's this particular person who kept coming. They would find me from anywhere in the church, and it's this intense hug. And I mentioned it to my husband. And then the next, we went to church the afternoon, and here comes this person. So my husband goes, "You got to hug me if you're hugging my wife."
Realizing with this, there are some people that don't want to be touched. And once again, just be sensitive. Be sensitive to personalities, or somebody might have been abused and they don't want, you know, there's you have to be really careful. Just be careful. Yes.
Teenagers with their crushes.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm going to go, if more comes up, just interrupt, but I'm going to go to number 5. I'm going to keep going here. Number 4 was community services. Okay, number 5. This, I think you might have addressed it earlier. Providing a safe place for our young people, especially the teens, and broaden that, as you know, to ask questions. Mm. And this is an area that we haven't done too well at in our church. And our young people, I'm going to give you a copy of something here of our young people and pastors who have made suggestions to us to improve ministry for young adults. But what we haven't done well at is allowing people to ask questions. Any question whatsoever. The uncomfortable ones. Mm. The one about relationships or LGBTQ plus. All of these questions that we don't necessarily have great comfort answering necessarily, or we don't know the answer because we're like, I'm not sure what we're supposed to say as a church yet. But nonetheless, allowing the conversations to happen. Our young people don't know who to ask. They will find answers. I tell you they will. They'll Google it, or they'll ask their non-Christian friends, and they'll get a different answer than what we want them to have. But to even create the environment of saying, okay, this is question-answer time. What do you want to ask me? Anything you want. Or put out the question box where they can put it anonymously in there.
Some of them are really shy, and they don't want,
absolutely,
to want to ask the question.
Right.
We have the box. They can just put the question in, and then during a wrap session, we'll address them.
Yep.
And it gives us time to prepare
an answer, or like, oh no, what will I say on this one? But
most of the time, when a kid asks a question, they don't want to be judged by the question that they just asked.
Yeah.
Some of the time, it's best that they write it on the box, or
in a group.
I can feel it good. They like, suppose that I said a friend.
Yeah.
All that stuff. So.
A friend, not me. and to answer the questions in a non-judgmental way, dealing with pregnancies and dealing with all those issues that the kids want to know and need to know and need to know that it's okay to talk about. So I put it as a whole number to itself. Number 5 is allowing kids to ask questions and setting up those times and put it in the bulletin. 3 o'clock after church this on Sabbath afternoon, it's ask the pastor any question you want. And just throw it out there. I don't know if you'd... I've even thought of talking to Lyle and saying at the next youth rally on Sabbath afternoon, having to ask the pastor a question. And whether we have the answers, a great answer or not, and I'm scared to be asked certain questions.
Yeah, I know, right?
But to be honest and open with him, saying, I'm trying to figure that out too.
Yeah.
And let's talk about it.
And should you say, no parents?
Yeah, because they won't talk if their parents are
here. Not on certain questions, and most of them are relationship...
Yes.
Sex, drugs, things that they're trying. And so this is really the teenage, young adults especially, that teens especially. But we need to provide the time.
That really helps is if we're being very honest with them.
Oh,
yeah. We went to church in our broad hats, and you know, we're holy and wonderful, but they know because they're your kids or their friends.
Absolutely.
So basically, like, if we're totally honest with them, say, okay, I struggled with this, or this is how I did this, you know, I probably could have ended up doing this, but I went this way instead, or my mom. And sometimes, as youth leaders, we have to make sure that we have an eye on our teams or youth. make sure we have an idea of their home they're coming from sometimes, because sometimes you don't have to ask, do you want to come back for lunch? You know, because you know their parents are...
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the homes that they're coming from, you have to, and some of them are adventurous homes, but they're not healthiest. So you have to, therefore, you know, ask God to give you that spirit of discernment where you can, you know, the person to intervene and help. You don't have to state their problem in their face, but just be there.
Yeah, I agree. Yes.
Oh yeah. There was a one book that I bought in Google that it talks about the page title is Let's Talk, and I forget the author, but it was written by the president of our the president of GC. I think
it would have been from the ABC bookstore, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's in there. And then it talks about lots of issues, and more specifically with the youth. So it opened up everything, the issues that you want to cover and how to answer it. It's just there.
Yeah. If they don't have the questions, you know what's going on in their minds, especially if you've worked with the teenage, or if you have teenage kids, some of their struggles, put the questions out for them, the ones they're too scared to ask. They want to talk about it. So anyways, number six, I'm keep going here. I have this because it's my personal passion, but maybe I'll talk about passions. Outdoor ministries is my personal passion. Taking kids camping so I can show them a picture of Jesus Christ. So if that fits into your ministry and you want to talk to me later on and say, I want to take my kids camping, how do I do it? Come talk to me. But let me put it in a bigger generalization. Minister through your personal passion. So if your personal passion is quilting, then at the adventurer clubs, let's make a quilt to give to homeless people or to someone in need. So pulling in the community services. But think of it at least anyways, to minister through your personal passion or the people you work with. What is your path? Oh, you're a mountain biker? Could we start a little mountain biking club in Pathfinders or at the church? Or whatever that is, but look for people's passions or your own and think of ministering through that and realize how powerful that can be, because you're excited. They'll get excited about it. And it's not just mountain biking, if that's what it was. It's ministry through that. And you might pull in other kids from other churches or the community that might be interested in that. So you can build your ministry in the passion areas that you have or the people around you have. So keep that in mind. Outdoor ministry has grown in my life because it's my passion. And so it's now part of my ministry now at the conference level. Minister through your passion. Any thoughts on that? Questions? It was a short one.
I'm always looking for extra talent, so I just want to hear the passions in this room, so I can just call on you to come to my church at times.
Well, let's go through in a circle just for a second here.
I just want to hear it. Yeah,
You know, mine is outdoors, camping. My favorite is whitewater canoeing, and I teach it to youth groups or church groups, and with the Christian basis of leadership. All right, that's mine. That's my outdoors. Anything outdoors. Let's start on this side.
I like hiking.
Okay.
Camping, I'm into that. But I don't like cold. I don't like time. But I love it.
Good.
And I also like just to incorporate youth into activities that they like. That's another requirement from the Pathfinder Club, is that we find out what
their passions are.
Incorporate those into our program.
You want to get kids involved? Ask them what they're passionate about. Find out what that is and address it through that side. Good. What is your passion in life? Personal. This is personal.
Yes.
What do you love?
I love to do like things like crocheting.
Oh, okay.
I did not know.
That's cool. And so ministry through that is possible.
I also good. Like to do a bit of craft.
Cool. All right, let's keep going around the circle.
So what is the same thing?
Oh, cool.
Making, you know, like postcards, stuff like that. So I do that at our church. I do sign language. A lot of people are now asking for me to help to teach their kids. So I'm looking into that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I like to sing. I love singing at home. But, you know, now I'm doing praise and worship sometimes, and I'm asking God to intervene on that, you know, let them hear voices of angels and not my voice. And I just love, like, I think my passion has always been, you know, serving more community, volunteering, and that's the major thing I get involved and excited about our church.
I see your eyes are lighting up just talking about your passions.
I've always done
so
so it's just like, that's amazing, and I love the fact that my young people love that, and
cool. We'll go back here. Back. What is your passion in life?
My passion in life, only for me, like...
Personal.
I like to actually find more interesting, like, adventures, and kind of more archaeology, kind of findings where there is a kind of... new findings, kind of excitement, and kind of...
That's cool.
Explorations, kind of things.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cool.
Me?
Yeah. What are you passionate about?
Well, my real passion is race and riding motorcycles, so that's my thing. And otherwise, when I went skiing, all that stuff. Anything outdoor, that's me.
Oh, we should get together sometime and go snowboarding. That's awesome. What is it? I'm not sure if I know it.
Yeah, I don't know either. At the very core, this is my purpose, part of my purpose statement, is to set others free with the transformational love of God. So I'm not very talented, and I don't have a lot of skills, so what I do is I try to find people and help them unleash their
talents
and empower them, create safe places where people have love and belonging. Things like that. That's a big thing for me.
And you're in the right occupation, right ministry.
Bring them into an experience where they can find that.
That's cool.
That connection.
That's cool.
I can't think. Well, for me, my passion is as a teenager right now, I'm 19. As a teenager, I love sports.
Okay.
Almost every teenager loves sports. Basketball, volleyball, like that. But I think about the mystery through passion. Basketball can use basketball for mysteries.
Yeah.
Something like that. Socializing, building a relationship with your teammate, using it to your
Christ life. Yeah, very cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, for me, on my college level, my passion is collecting biblical books.
Oh, really?
Mostly related with written books.
Scholarly books, yeah.
Because it was open my it's something like it develops a passion for me when I was in IS. Back in Philippines, it was a forum which attended by a different scholars. They have presenting their own papers, and I said, wow, this is amazing, like, you know, discovering more and deeper, but
yeah.
I don't know, like, yeah, maybe that passions can be more informative to others.
Sure, yeah.
Right? How things work in biblical times, maybe more, you know.
I think we have a college professor coming here.
Actually, I am a
teacher. Oh. Okay, yeah.
Berman.
Yeah.
Going to Berman is coming, opening my class.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
I was in there and transferred to the Philippines and go back again.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
What is your passion?
So I love to dance. I love music. I love art. And I love sports.
And what's
the...
Motorsports.
So I watch a lot of Formula One.
Oh, really? That's cool. Yeah. He's like, that's interesting. What is your passion? Personal passion.
I have lots. I love camping. Since I was canoeing with them, so.
Yes, I remember that well.
I love walking. I can really walk.
Working?
Yeah.
Walk.
Walk. It is work, though.
I love. I'm into sewing. I'm into. recently I bought, you know, these kits they sell at Michael's.
Okay.
That you can use yarn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm introducing that to the kits. In an hour you can make a tube.
Oh, yeah.
So we're trying to make like a collection of make tubes and you can take them on community services.
Right.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love it.
I just love seeing those little ones. Like, they're interested in learning things. Like, I did it myself, so I'm having them learn to do this little thing that don't take long. That didn't know that only my concentration. Yeah, that's what I love.
That's cool.
For me, wow, I have a lot. But one of them would be families, like the working relationship within a family. Just seeing my parents have the relationship between them, and they ended up in a divorce, and it was tough on me. And now I'm married, and that's one of the things that we don't want to have as an option.
Absolutely.
And so I guess the working relationships between husband and wives, kids we don't have yet, but you know, just the family, that would be one of my areas of focus. And drums. My church.
Thank you for putting the drum corps together. I was happy with that.
I see people playing drums.
You're there.
I'm there. So
that's awesome.
Drums kept me in the church, and I plan on using it as a ministry tool.
Very cool. Very cool.
He's done a great job in our church.
I know he is. Yeah. That's cool.
I paid him.
I see a social event coming on with food, Domino's, and the Bible study. All right, thank you for sharing that, you guys. Minister through your passion, or consider that, and surround yourself with people that you work with their passions. Find out what that is. Tap into what they're really good at and what they love to do, and the kids will follow. The kids will follow that. All right, I'm going on to number 7. All right, music. Youth ministry, music, there's a big component that is here. If we went around the circle, we'd realize that we all, if I ask personal, we're all like a personal style of music that's very different from somebody else's. And then if we went and asked, well, what does your church do? This is a hot topic, and I'm...
Tread softly.
When I arrived in Alberta 4 years ago, I was informed as I came in instantly, I was informed that there was a music issue, and it was more in southern Alberta, a big music issue. I guess there was a youth rally, and there was challenges there, and I'm just saying it straight up, that there was challenges that resulted because of the music preferences and styles within the worship. So, there's usually something to do with drums.
Always
drums. And that's your thing. So, tread carefully. I don't need to tread carefully. Here's what I say. Make choices. This is how I make a lot of decisions. Make choices in your ministries to make sure that you do not narrow your scope of ministry. Okay? And I'm not going to tell you how to make that choice. I'm not going to say no drums. I'm not about that. But make choices in your church, in your ministry, that makes so that you keep the window of ministry as wide open as possible. Okay? So what I've done at my youth rallies, I use a djembe. I've been asked by the president in my programs, just don't use drums right now. Okay, so I've not done a drum kit. I like electric drum kits, if I was going to say personally, because I can balance it, the volume of it, with the rest, and I kind of like that. But I've been asked not to, so I use djembe and cajon or nothing, and I've kind of gone with a more conservative route on my music in my programs. And if you've been to my programs, they're usually a bit, I think, more they're balanced, I think. It's praise and worship, youthful, but I've tried not to narrow the scope of ministry, and that's the key that I want to leave that with you. don't do things in your ministry that narrow down to just these people will like this, and that's the only group listening now. You've trimmed off every... No. We want to minister to everyone possible to keep it as wide as possible. I make a lot of decisions based on that philosophy.
So one of the things is when I started going to the Duke, and my husband, he would always want to go to West Ed because he was like, oh my God. Like, he's like, coming to our church is like going to a funeral service. And that is what sounds, it was true. So I always, my philosophy is be the change you want to see, right? I cannot sing like angels, but I say, let's do a praise team, let's get things going. So now we have, because what I realized is that a lot of the young people, they're finding their voice, right? And they love singing.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll want to sing, so they'll join the choir, but the choir is hymns and a lot of these things. And so,
only.
Like, we had a one youth day where they each got to do something, and I'm like, oh. So basically, in our praise and worship, we have, of course, we have the hymns, but we also have, like, good praise and worship songs that are, you know, like, started, you know, with a, you know, upbeat,
yep.
And they'll enjoy it. And now, like, everybody, you know, initially, of course, you're going to touch some chords, but honestly, like,
The few that
are going to be disappointed, struggle. You know, you pray for them as you go along. Praying and making sure God is in it.
We always want to come to West End. You know what I mean? I came to West End.
Their praise and worship, I must say.
Praise
and worship is awesome.
It was awesome.
Because in Toronto, we had something like that at Agape, and it was awesome.
Now, there are churches... You all know the issues. There are different styles at different churches. I travel to conference churches and I realize, oh, this church is a very different sound than this church. And if they want hymns only, I'm fine with whatever. I honestly, I'm very fine with whatever. But I think when the youth on a youth Sabbath get up to do their thing, and they don't have always the greatest quality of sound, and they're putting their hearts out there, it's difficult something to get up front and do something, that we need to just be very supportive of our young people in their attempts.
That program that he did, that was last year, he did that we were soldiers in Gardam.
That was awesome. That was like my church awesome. Back home. It's like, yeah,
that was awesome. When I was there, you got the drums, you got the guitar, you got everything. It was.
But there's some churches they would not feel comfortable at all with that. And that's okay. Totally.
We went to Comox Valley, and there's about what? 10 people in that church? But their praise and worship was wonderful. They had, I don't know, these weird things they use for music.
Okay.
But it was nice. Like a ukulele kind of a thing, and it was nice. And then there was one other member, he can play his guitar, he went and did the piece. And I'm like,
I think if we were more open-minded to the differences in cultures, the difference in people's comfort levels. I was at the Mandeville Church in Jamaica, and it's very, very different than anything I've seen before, but it was awesome. Maybe you've been to there. Lyle spoke. I'll say it the way Lyle's words, because I'm always careful how this. Lyle said, I'm going to show you what a black sermon is. And I'm like, what? And I did the prayer. I did the prayer at the Mandeville Church, and I was startled. So I'm praying, and I said, Dear Lord, and everyone said something. I'm like, whoa. Thank you for Sabbath. And there was a lot of response.
Yes,
and so finally, oh, absolutely.
Yes,
so finally, I didn't know what to do. I was so curious, and I was not sure. So I prayed the rest of the prayer with my eyes open so I could see what was going on. Never done that before, but I understand cultural differences more now. And it helps me actually understand when I come back to Canada, different cultures. I'd like to just say, and we can go forever on music, and we can right away see it's a passionate topic.
Started from, say, September, October, all the way to December.
he got music day at every church.
And we go church hopping.
Yeah.
Everybody goes to different church to listen to music. So basically on music day, if you don't get to church by 8 o'clock, you ain't getting no seat.
No seat.
You gotta stand up, you gotta stand on the side and watch everything on a projector or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's how it is on like music
day.
So you got like all the different singers coming from Montego Bay, the different churches coming to sing, and
I think
what you said was powerful. Having room for diversity in our music.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, even as much as I enjoy the drums and all of that, and it's my passion, sometimes I just want to hear the hymn. No drums.
I love certain hymns. The old school fashion.
I think
diversity in our music.
Yeah.
What I do is I mix it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mix it up, and people tend to tell me that they like when I mix it up, because some people like the hymns and some people like the newer songs. So I mix it up, and even when I'm doing the hymns, I kind of do a twist on the hymns.
Right.
That they're, I get the men singing, I get the ladies singing, I get them answering each other sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it gives a whole new announcement.
This is where intergenerational or multi-generational worship, with all the different cultures and things, and our personal preferences. No one's getting up at church. I wish they would and do country, because I like country, but we don't have that in our churches, and that's okay. Brad could do it.
No, but I understand what you, because even in Tobago, like on music day, what they try to do is they don't do the one type of city, so they try to give you like some of the intron,
the sandy patty,
some of the different.
Right.
So they try to mix it up, and you get some of the opera singing to it.
Yeah.
You get some of the opera singing to it.
Right.
So you get everything on the music day and stuff like
that. No.
Praise and worship, that's what I was telling you, like before I start with like a song, you know, like, and then of course it's praise and worship, so the worship ends with the very, like, the last two songs are hymns and very song, close your eyes, worship God kind of songs, you know, so, and I think that's what it's supposed to do. It gets you in the frame of mind of, yes, I'm rejoicing and I'm worshiping, you know, like I'm thanking God, and it's the way that I want to bring up, which music does.
And that'll look different for different people as well, what that is. And so just, we need to be more open-minded and just use this as a general rule of thumb. Don't narrow the scope of ministry. Just try to not do things that you know will offend a large group, or just be sensitive. So I'll leave it at that on this really good topic, actually. I love music, but just we need to be sensitive. So whatever that looks like in your church, and it's going to be different. Okay, good. The next one, what time is it? I'm going to... Oh, 5 minutes. We're right on schedule. We're doing good. I have a couple things to give you. Let me log into this. Right here is a sign-up sheet for the news blast. This is our best form of communication with youth ministry. If you put your email address on there, you'll get a monthly news blast. Uh-oh. It was there.
Try and plug it in and plug it back in.
Quite a while to get it. All right, I'll just tell you if it doesn't show up. It may show up here or may not. The news blast will tell you all the events that the youth department, there it is doing for a year to a year and a half in advance. And so it'll show all the way till November 2016 of anything. And what I'll say this is, my department is functions to support your ministries. Okay, we put on events and programs, or come to the local area, or do things at camp. But that is to support your ministries, whatever that is, adventurers, pathfinders. We want to do things that will enhance what you're already trying to do, that you, to support what you're, okay, whatever it is that you have going on. And so if it's youth ministry, I was like, oh great, we get to go on a road trip to camp. And so if you look, there is the Teen Youth Rally, February 26th near the top. And that's in 2 weeks from now. We're bringing in our best speaker we've ever brought into Alberta. What's his name again?
Eddie.
Eddie Hippolyte from Australia. We're flying him in. And so this here newsletter, it tells you a lot of things of upcoming events for till the end of this year. And then it goes into more detail down here into each one. We're hiring staff right now. There's the winter retreat. So I just pulled up an old one. It's 2 weeks old now. There's the youth rally with Eddie Hippolyte. We're expecting over 400 people at this one. So we've moved the youth rally. We're moving it from the primary building, I think, to the main auditorium, the adult, the camp meeting main auditorium stage. So we're doing a bunch of work to get that ready because of the large group. There's Global Youth Day. We don't do anything with this necessarily except to make you aware. It's an NAD event that we can get involved with. It's at a local level, local church program if you want to, community service type thing. There's a youth summit coming up. In every 2 years across Canada, there's a Canadian-wide youth rally. We call it a youth summit. It's in Alberta this time. It's the first time in Alberta. We're the last conference to receive it. And so it's in May. It's huge. People fly from all across Canada. There's great speakers, breakout sessions. We're coming to Edmonton for community services, which the youth pastors, the Edmonton Youth Council, is going to help us with. So you'll probably possibly be involved in that even. It's a big program that your young adults and youth can come to as well. 16 to 30 is the age category for this one. Something really to look for. If you've never heard of it, make sure your email address is on there and we add you to the monthly mail out so you can realize what's
the registration cost for that too. So
there is, yes.
$250?
$255, yeah.
If you're just coming for the Sabbath morning, there's no fee for that.
There's a day pass for Sabbath for the day because we have lunch and supper.
Okay.
And so I'm working that out. I'm trying to keep it low, but I'm only one voice amongst the youth directors across Canada. I won't pull it back up, but what if you continue talking about Adventurer Fun Day and Adventurer Family Camp Pathfinder, and then at the bottom it'll tell you the travels of myself, Lyle Notice, and David Benjamin, the three of us in our office. So you can kind of see where we're going, and if you need us, you'll know where we are and so on. Okay. Did anyone else need the sign on here?
I noticed one date on there that says Eastern Canada
Pathfinder. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, did it come back? Oh, there's an Eastern Canada Pathfinder Camp. I'll just scroll back up there. You'll get this every little bit. Now, the Eastern Canada has done an Eastern Canada Pathfinder Camp Re. Quebec, Maritimes, Newfoundland. In 2017, I'm trying to get the ball rolling. I think we will. We'll have a Western Canada Camperee. And so that hasn't happened before that we know of, but I always like to try new things, and it's a big thing. I like organizing stuff, and so we're trying. I think the Pathfinders would love it. And it's looking like it'll be at Foothills Camp, so it's not really unique. I was trying for the mountains, but I couldn't get a venue for the size of group. So it's cheapest at Foothills Camp as well. So, but that would be BC, Pathfinders, and Adventurers, I think, and Mansas coming, all of us here, which is really cool. Okay, any questions on that, or can I keep going here? I'm almost done. That's number 8. In youth ministry, I have it here, I didn't number it, but I can say it's number 9. Youth ministry is when I first started, Ken Weeb pulled me into my office. He hired me in Mansask and then also hired me here. But when I was in Mansask, he pulled me into the office and he says, we don't have family ministries in our conference. And that's the same for maybe it's changed, I'm not sure. He said this, and just pass that to you. Youth ministries should be families ministries. And I want to just put that into your mind. Not to always pull the youth out of the families, but to pull the families in with the youth to do stuff. And Adventurers does that very, very well. That's the purpose of Adventurers. But if you pictured youth ministries, think of having the youth and their parents. And you probably wouldn't have one of those question times, but you could have something where the parents, try to pull the parents in as well to pull the family unit in so the family unit can grow as well. All right, wrapping up here, I have a few things for you. I'll talk about this one first. You might have seen this before. There's a My Church initiative that the boards are looking at across the conference. The My Church initiative is, and I'm just giving you one piece of it, is an initiative to help the churches make changes to make our churches more desirable for our young adults so they will, it's a retention, so they're not leaving. So this here list, the first page is really what you need, is to look at, this is a list from our young people in Alberta, our young pastors, youth pastors, and just about almost anyone. All right, see you later. Good to see you. Of a list of suggestions. Okay? I'm going to highlight a couple of them, okay? I wish they were numbered so I could tell you. I highlighted mine, but I'm not going to tell you all based on time. I'm going to pick out a couple of things to just point. But look at this list. I recommend. It's a really good list. Small groups, that's on the first bullet. Small groups means social time. Worship and social time with food involved. Okay, we talked about that earlier. Creating those relationships with people. That's what small groups does. However that looks, and that's just right here. I'll point it on mine so you can see. But looking at small groups, but really looking at the social side of ministry. All right? I'm going to jump down to right here. Create a safe church where young people can stumble and still be supported. That's an important part of our youth ministry. When they ask those questions about pregnancy, you might wonder, maybe one of them is pregnant or premarital sex, those types of things. We need to answer it without judging them so that they can grow and learn. And remember, we were all young once. We made mistakes too. And so we're there now to support our young people through their challenges, whatever that is. And there's so many different options, drugs, alcohol, all of these things that are challenges for them. Okay? Right below that, I have one word here. It says, encourage real one-on-one mentorship. This is my new key, personal keyword. With camp staff that I'm hiring right now, I hire 43 staff. Mentoring is going to be a major part of what I'm doing this summer. Because they have lots of growth to do. They just need someone to talk to about these things, to mentor them, encourage them on. So if we as adults could be looking at mentoring our young people, helping them through life, through their challenges. Maybe someone helped you through challenges when you were younger. Someone safe to talk to about anything. So I'll just highlight that word. This here one, creating a welcoming environment. So if it's Sabbath school, if it's Pathfinders, Adventurers, or just a youth get-together, that welcoming, homey environment. I have youth groups to my house all the time because it's easier at my house. So when we built our house, we said, this house is dedicated to youth ministry. And so we built it a little bit bigger with larger spaces so that we can have large groups of kids over, so that we can create a welcoming environment where they feel safe, and so then I can tell them about Jesus. And so create whatever, if it's at your church or in your home, whatever it is, make it homey. Put a couch in the corner, put a lamp, put an area rug, some Timbits, whatever it is. Make it homey, okay? Welcoming. And create community. It's right here. Create community within our church families. I'm going to pass out one more thing as I wrap up. This here is about young adults, kind of going with this. This is from the NAD. They brought young adults from across North America, had them talk, and they came up with this here. This is gold. This is golden. This is our young adults talking to us as adults, saying, hey, this is how we see the church and what we need from the church. So have a look at that if that's your thing. I'm jumping fast. The next one. Your churches all have a copy of this resource. We gave them out at camp meeting last year. I'm just making sure you're aware of it. This is a songbook with guitar chords. It's CCLI, all of it, almost all of it, unless they're too old. These are young adults, teens, and children's songs. So look for it in your churches. It's a great resource. CCLI, there's also, you can get all the stuff for your slideshows from there. It's all made, ready to go. And you can change them and get piano chords for these as well. Okay. So this is a resource that all your churches received at camp meeting, a box of them, or a bag, depending on how big your church is. Okay, so just so you're aware. Have you seen it before?
Yes.
You're like, huh, you have. Okay, ask your pastor, they have it. All right. Am I going too fast?
No.
Okay, I'll take the top copy. This here is just a list of summer camp dates, and I'm just highlighting that to you because if you're involved in children's ministry, I want you to know this. Our summer camp program, where they come to camp and spend a week, not outside of camp meeting, This is probably the most powerful youth ministry I've seen alongside of Pathfinders and Adventurers, where you take them out of their homes, they come into camp, they have no phones, no radios, no whatever it is that they stick on their ears, no electronics. They spend time in nature. If you read Ellen White, and I'm going through that right now, where I was like, oh, she says a lot about nature. These are the dates where you can encourage your kids to come to camp. And it's not about numbers for me. It's a ministry. It's powerful, powerful ministries. Many kids give their hearts to Christ at summer camp. So I want to just pass that out to you so you can let them know and even encourage them. Or help your churches to send a few kids that really need that extra boost to attend summer camp. You can just put it here when you're gonna, and so those are the dates. I'd like you to encourage your kids to come. It's very, very powerful. Where the kids, the camp staff are trained to work with them directly and tell them about Jesus. And this is almost peer. These are teens telling the children and the teens about Christ. So it takes the adult preaching piece out. This is their peers really working for Christ. So pass that on to them. Sorry about this flashing here. And these are the last two things here that I have for you. If you want, this is Lyle Notice's business card, phone numbers or cell phone numbers, and this is mine. If you have any questions or concerns or issues or needs that you think we can help you with, our phone numbers are there or at email addresses there. Just call us. I go to bed at 8:30 at night. So anytime before 8:30. I do youth ministry, but I go to bed early except for summer camp. I'm up till late. You can call me at 5:30 in the morning as well. I'm up. I'd like to just, before we head out, just have a word of prayer with you all. I want to ask God's blessing on your ministries. So let's stand as, please help yourself take them. I'm sorry to rush the last little bit. I just promised people I'd be done on time. I'm pretty close to it. Oh, I went over. Sorry. 8 minutes. I'm sorry. I'm very prompt usually. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a chance that we can talk about youth ministries and open up with each other some of the challenges, things that are working, talk about our passions, Lord. Lord, here's what we ask. We ask that you just bless each leader here and the churches that are not represented here. Bless them with the patience that they need, the wisdom that they need to work with the youth, the whatever it is that each person around this circle needs in order to serve you to our fullest. Lord, we love our children and our young adults and our youth. We know that you love them as well. Help us to minister to them and not be a stumbling block for them, so because we want each of them in the kingdom with you. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for your time. I'm glad you're here. I hope to hear great stories of what's going on in your youth ministries. Thank you.
Thank you.